This is Daf HaShavu, Ashir number 3 for Daf Pei in Maaseches Tzuvos. We're on Pei Amid Beis at the Mishnah, about a third of the way down. Shomeris Yavam Shenaflu LaNechasim. Here you have a case of a woman whose husband had passed away without children, and now she's waiting for Yibam. She's waiting for her brother-in-law to perform Yibam or Chalitza. And we'd like to know if now she has Nechasim that fall to, let's say, Nechasim Milug, how do we treat that property? So Shomeris Yavam Shenaflu LaNechasim. And Rashi says here, Kshehi Shomeres Yavam, that's when they fell to her. So, Modin Be Shammai Uve Silol Shemocheres Venosenes Vikayam. Be Shammai Be Silol agree that she has the right to sell them, she has the right to give them away as a gift, and that is valid. We remember on Daf, or earlier on Daf, Ayin Ches, where we had, let's say you have a woman who wants to sell property she inherited when she was an Arusa, where Be Shammai says it's allowed, and Be Silol says she should not sell it. Now, we're talking about a Yavama now. So Yavama is different. Here, even Beis Hillel agrees she has the right to sell them. And that's because a Yavama is not exactly married to a Yavam. It's not the same thing as an Arus, as an Arusa to an Arus. So here Beis Hillel would agree she can sell the property she inherits while she is a Shomeris Yavam. Yavama, and the difference between the Yavama and the Arusa is that, yes, Eris and I know we're supposed to, the next step is Nisuin. But, so therefore, we assume that eventually she's going to be married to have Nisuin, and that property is going to be her husband's. The Keren will be hers, but the, of the Nisle Milug, but the Peros are the husband's. As opposed to Yibum, how do you know? Yibum may not have a Yibum. Maybe it'll end with Chalitza. She'll be released through Chalitza, and those properties will never be that of the husband. And that, therefore, Beis Hillel agrees, in this case, with Beis Shammai, as opposed to the Arusa case, that if she is able to sell them lechatchila, and that sale is kayam. What about, though, Mesa? Let's say the Shomeris Yavam died. She's waiting for Yibam, and then she passes away. So she now has certain properties, and we'll see what properties we're speaking of. Mayasu b'ksubasa. What should we do with her ksuba? Uvenachasim hanichrasim hayotzimima. And literally the properties that go in and out with her, which are the nichsei maluk. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi b'ksubasa. We'd like to know, is Shomeris Yavam, this is not a woman who was married, and now she passes away where the husband inherits her properties. This is a woman, Shomeris Yavam, her original husband died, and now she was waiting for Yibim or Chalitza. So what do we do with our ksuva or the next same look? Says Rashi, b'ksuvasa, b'nedunya, she'echnisa lo, v'shama atan lo b'ksuvasa. That's the next tzom barzel. The dowry that she brought into the marriage, and we appraise it, and write it into the ksuva, and we know the husband is obligated, would be obligated in that circumstance to, regardless of what happened, whether appreciated or depreciated, to give her the value back as was written in the ksuva, although it belongs to him to use, he would have to pay it back in the event that he passed away, it would come from the Yorshim, or they get divorced. The kibbol of achrayuson, and the husband accepts full responsibility. And v'rashai lo tzyam, he's allowed to spend them. So what do you do with that nichsein tzom barzel? Or the nechasim hanichnas hayotzim yom, next Rashi. Hey, nichsein maluk, she'ein shemenosam alav, we don't appraise them and give them to the husband to use. V'ein v'rashai lo tzyam, he's not allowed to use them, the keren completely. Elam she'nichnas al rishu. So, nechnasim ima. That's why we call them nechasim, that are yotzim and nechnasim ima. Because when she enters the marriage, they enter with her. She yotza, yotza ima, they leave with her. And if they depreciated, the husband does not have to fill in what's missing because the Karen always belonged to her. So what do we do with, once again, with the Shomeris Yavam? What do we do with our nechse tzom barzel? And what do we do with the nechse malug? So Beis Shammai omrim, yachluku yorshe habal im yorshe ha'av. Beis Shammai says, this is what we do. We have the Yorshe Abal, the husband's Yorshim, are going to divide them with the Yorshe Av, with the father's Yorshim. Now, who are these people? So the Yorshe Ha'av, those are the heirs of the woman. And the Yorshe Habal, the husband's heirs, that's weird. The Gemara says later on in Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, the Yorshe Habal is actually refers to the Yavam himself. And and why should this be? So remember, this. Why are we splitting it? We're splitting it between the Yavam on the one hand and Har Yorshim on the other, the Yorshe Ha'av. The Yorshe Habal, the Yavam, and the Yorshe Ha'av, the woman's heirs. Why? Because we're not sure of her statuses. So she's maybe married to the Yavam, maybe she's not, and therefore therefore they're going to split, since we don't know what her status of marriage is, the two sides are going to split, the Yavam and her father are going to divide the property. Now, in fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Beis Shammai Omrim, Rashi is going to quote from Maseches Yevamos. If you look in the middle of that Rashi says that that when it says, you see, Amru Beis Shammai, Shemesa Amru Beis Shammai Yachloku Yoshe Habal Bohem, Umifarish Nami Didavka Naka Yachloku Yoshe Habal Im Yoshe Av Benichse Melug. We should be mindful of the fact that when we speak about this, the splitting of the Nechasim, of Yoshe Habal, which we said is the Yavam, with the Yoshe Av, which is her family, that's only regarding the Nechasim Melug. Aval Yoshe Av, but the, who is, is her family, lo yach lokus, as the Bach, biksuva im yorshe habal. They're not going to split that up. That's going to go to the Yavam. They don't have any, the nichsei, the split we're speaking of is by nichsei melug. But regarding the nichsei son barzel, that seems to be going to the Yavam and not going to her family, as the Gemara in Yevamos explains. Which means we'll see Beis Hillel will disagree with Beis Shammai. So according to the Gemara, in fact, Beis Shammai will agree with Beis Hillel on many counts. It seems from the Mishnah, according to Beis Shammai, that all of the Nechasim are split. And the Gemara in Yevama says it's not necessarily so. The Nechasim Meluga are split. But we'll see Beis Hillel's opinion in a moment, and in certain respects, we'll see Beis Shammai agrees with Beis Hillel. So once again, according to Beis Shammai, we split between the Yorshe Abal and the Yorshe Av. Beis Hillel, it seems to be everything. We'll see that. So according to Beis Shammai, only the Nechasim Melug. Says Beis Hillel, the Nechasim remain in the Chazakah the way they are. Now, what does that mean? So look at Rashi. Beis Hillel Omrim, Nechasim Ditzon Barzel Biches Kasan. They stay where they are.
Do
we say, well, it doesn't say who they are. Okay, they remain where they are. But who are, what do you mean they remain? Who is the Muchzak? So, has the Machlokes. Maybe Nechasim Becheskas means they remain in the Cheskas Yorshe Habal, which is the Yavam. Why? Because the Achrayus is on the Yavam when it comes to the Nechzei Tzon Barzel. Or maybe since the Nechzei Tzon Barzel originally were hers, because they were the dowry brought into the marriage, maybe it remains in her chazaka, and that's not split. So that's not clear. The Gemara in Yevamos explains that later on, what Nechasim Becheskasan means when Beis Hillel says that. But either way, then Beis Hillel says, Uksuva Becheskas Yorshe Habal, and the Ksuva is in the chazaka of the Yavam. That belongs to the Yavam. Look at Rashi. Hachi garsin ksuva becheskas yoshe abal. Mane masayim vitosefes sheruunyan lavola mishel baal. The mane masayim, the 100 or the 200, 100 for an amana, 200 for sula, and the tosefes ksuva, which normally comes from the husband, that's becheskas yoshe abal. That's not split at all. That, your 200, 100, 200, and tosefes, that goes to the Yavam only, as opposed to Beis Shammai, at least the way Beis Shammai seem to be saying that is going to be split. The Gemara in Yevamos may understand Beis Shammai differently. Says Beis Hillel, no, the Ksuva is Becheskas Yorshe Habal, which means that the Ksuva, the 200, 100, 200, and Tosefes goes to the Yavam. Nechasim ha-nechnasim v'hayotzim ima Becheskas Yorshe Hav. And the Nechsei Melug, those go to her, to the woman, to the heirs of the woman. As opposed to Beis Shammai, so there at least to have a machlok of the irons, even if you learn like the Gemara in Yevamos, that Beis Shammai still will agree on most issues. They're only arguing on the Nichsei Melug. Well, so then we still have a machlokas. Beis Shammai holds that the Nichsei Melug are split between the Yorshe Habal, which is the Yavam, and the Yorshe Ha'av, which is the woman's family. And Beis Hillel says, no, the Nechsei Melug are completely, Becheskas Yosheav, completely hers, and they belong to her family. So once again, Beis Hillel holds when it comes to Nichsei Tzon Barzel, they remain where they are. What they are is Yerushav, Yerushav Baal, that's a machlokas. What about the ksuv itself, 1 and 2 inches in Tosefes? That goes to the husband, that goes to the Yavam. And what happens with Nichsei Malug as opposed to Beis Shammai, who says they're split between the Yerushav Baal and the Yerushav? Beis Hillel says no, those completely are in possession of the Yerushav, the woman's father, the woman's family. Then the Mishnah says the following. Hiniach achiv mos. Let's say this brother, we have a Shomeris Yavam, and the brother left some money. So he passed away. And now we'd like to know what to do with that money. Yilakach bahen karka v'hu ochel peros. What do we do? So we say that we're supposed to buy property, and then this new husband is able to eat the peros of that property. If you take a look at Rashi, Dibi Hamaschi Lilakach Ben Karka, it's about 8-9 lines before it gets wide. Lefi Sheksuvasa Al Nichse Bala Harishon. The way it works with the Yavama is that when she marries the Yavam, the Ksuva remains the Ksuva of the original husband. Kidiktani the Kamana, as we'll learn later, we'll be taught later on. Lefika Chnichse Hames Achro in the Ksuvasa. It's the Nechasim of the deceased who, where there's a lien upon it to pay back her Ksuva. Elishaha Yavam Ochel Peros in Miyavim Yasa. Just that the Yavim is able to eat the peros of that property, if it's miyabim har, because sover metatlim shabdi l'ksuva. And obviously this opinion, and we'll see later on, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, holds that even metatlim, in this case it's most, are meshugad to pay the ksuva, and therefore what do you do with it? You buy karka, and he, the Yavam, the new husband, is able to eat the peros. Peros hachlushin menakarka. Let's say the brother, the deceased brother, left peros that were detached from the ground. The same thing, it's treated like most. Yilakach mehen karka v'huachal peros. That's what we do. You buy the same thing. You have to buy the keren, and the keren remains the woman's, but he's able to eat the peros from that. Remember, this is all based on the ksuva of the brother who left, because that's you have to treat it like it's the ksuva money. And that's and even metaltlin we're assuming is a meshuba to pay the ksuva back. So we have to turn it into Karen. Hamukhubarin bakaka, but let's say the deceased brother left produce that was attached to the ground. Amar Rabbi Meir, Shamin O son Kama Hin Yafin Baperos. We appraise the land and see how much it's worth when it has peros v'kama hin yafin below peros, and obviously what it's worth without. And what do you do with the difference? And with the difference with that, so we buy land, and then the husband is able to eat peros. Rabbi Meir holds that everything that grew while this husband who passed away, while was alive, is considered part of that estate, and therefore is meshuba to the ksuva as well. So how do you value how do you find the value of the produce? So you figure it out. You see how much was invested, and that difference is there. Take a look at Rashi, Shem and Osam, 5 lines before it gets wide. The Kasavar, obviously, Rabbi Meir holds, Kol Masha Gadal Barusha Sameis Achron, the Ksuva, and that's why it has to be sold. You buy Karka, and the new husband, the Yavam, eats Peros. V'achachamim Omrim, Peros Hamuchubarin Ba'Karka Shelo. No, the produce attached to the ground belongs to the Yavam. It's not Meshuba to the Ksuva. We'll have to see. That may be a little bit difficult. Rashi says, "Achamim peros hamuchamim lakarka shelo bigmara parachalo." The Gemara will ask that question. Why should that be so? That's a good question. The produce was there at the time the husband is alive, so it certainly is part of the land. So we'll see that in the Gemara. And then the Mishnah says, "Hatlushim min hakarka kol hakodem zacha bohen." And the Chachamim say, "What about the produce that's detached from the ground?" Where Rabbi Meir said, "That's sold. You buy keren, you buy land, and the husband the Yavam eats peros." Because that's meshuba to the ksuva as well. Say the Chachamim, "No, the produce detached from the ground. Whoever comes and grabs it." He's able to keep it. Kadam huzocha. Let's say the Yavam came first. So he gets to acquire it completely. Kadmahi, what if the woman came first? Then yilakach ben karka v'huachol peros. If he grabs it, the Yavam grabs it first, he gets to keep the whole thing. Doesn't buy karka where the keren belongs to the woman and eats the peros. No, he gets to keep the whole thing because he has the rights to it. No one has specific rights. It's not meshuba to the ksuba. The Yavam, the his brother passed away, so now he has the right to it. It's only because things that are meshubah to the ksuva, because all of his, the deceased brother's property is meshubah to the ksuva. You can't just use it for whatever you like. It has to be meshubah to the ksuva as well for the new marriage, for the yavam. But if it's something that's not meshubah to the ksuva, so he gets to keep it. And kadmahi, if she came first, yilakachem karka b'chaperos, then if she has it, well, everything a woman has, we have to, how do we treat it? He eats the carrot and it really belongs to him. So then you have to buy karka, and of course he gets to eat the pears of that, but the carrot belongs to her. So what does it mean that if she grabs it, you buy karka and he eats pears? It sounds like we treat it like suva. So the answer is like this. Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir and hold that metaltolin are not meshubah to the ksuva. And therefore, the yavam can do whatever he likes. He gets hold of metaltolin. He's able to sell them, able to use them, however he likes to eat them himself. But let's say the woman grabbed them, while the husband was alive, and she wanted them for it to be pledged. She wanted them to be meshuvah for the ksuva. So then, in fact, they are meshuvah for the ksuvas. And therefore, when a husband then passes away, and the yavam now performs ibum and gets all of the inheritance of the brother who passed away, he can't sell them. They have to be sold. So you sell them, and whatever the proceeds are, you use to buy land. And that's what it means. Kadmahi, she grabbed them even before they got married. That's what it means. Hatzlush ben akarka, whoever's kodem zocha, even before they get married, he came first, she came first, doesn't make a difference. If he re-grabs it, it's his. If she grabs it, that means that she wanted it to be meshubah to the ksuva, and therefore it is going to be, therefore it has to be sold. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, kol ha-kodem zacha, two lines before it gets wide. Kasava mitato l'ksuva d'chachamim lo mishtabdi. Elo im kain tafsa, unless she grabs them. Umechaim debal boin etfisa. But also, she has to grab them not after the husband passed away, in the lifetime of the husband. Kizu kamam ha-kosev, we'll learn later on daf pedal in the base. Vuhua denami de pligia aksafim happens to be the Chachamim disagree, not only Peros. They would hold just like Peros kol hakodem zacha, so too when it comes to money, which was the most, which was the case earlier. The Maishnok Safim in Peros to lose them, what's the difference? Whether it's detached produce or money or coins, it's the same halacha. Mishnah, after all, they're both metaltolin. Then the Mishnah says, Knasa, now they get married. Now they get under the chuppah. This is the Yavam and the Yavama, Hare Kishto, the Chol Davar. They're married in all halacha. He gives her a get afterwards. We'll see in the Gemara what that line means. Bilvad, Shetehei, Ksuvasa, Al Nichse, Bala Harishon. Except, and we mentioned this already, that the Ksuva of this new marriage, the Yavam to the Yavama, is based on the estate of the original husband. And not what the Yavam has right now. The Yavam could be a very wealthy man, but it doesn't matter. The Ksuva is based on the original marriage. Lo yomar lo harei Ksuva sich munachas al ha-shulchan. The Yavam can't say, hey, your Ksuva is sitting on the table. It's lying on the table. He doesn't have the right to do that. Why would he want to do that? He may say, listen, there's so much in this estate from my brother who passed away. So I'll tell you what, here, we're going to set aside a certain, this area of land is going to be your place to your ksuva. You'll collect ksuva from there. It's 200 zuz. Don't worry, this piece of land is worth a lot more than 200 zuz. And everything else I'm going to take for myself. He can't say that. That's what it means. Lo yomar lo harei ksuva sich munachas al-chun. Your ksuva is sitting on the table. There's plenty of property that's set aside for your ksuva, but I'm going to sell the rest of the property. Not true. Ela kol nechasav achron leksuvasa. All of the nechasim of the deceased brother achron leksuvas to the ksuva, as generally speaking, a regular husband. It's that way. As we say in the ksuva itself, we read our ksuvas have, right? Afila min glima dal kaspech. Even the shirt off his back is going to be achroi to the ksuva, is pledged to the ksuva. Vechein lo yomar adam leishto harei ksuva sich munachas lal shulchan. This is not just true of a yavam to yavama. It's true of a regular man to his wife. His ksuva sitting on the table, and there's plenty of land, and this house is worth a lot of money, a lot more than the ksuva is worth, and you'll collect it from there, and I'm going to deal and invest the other stuff. No, ela kol nechasav achron leksuvasa, all the other nechasim achroi to pay the ksuva. There's a lien upon all of that property. Gersha, take the case of Yavam. After he was miyabem har, then he divorced her. Ein la ela ksuva. All she gets is the ksuva, which means he can take a specific part of the property for the ksuva, and then take the rest for himself. Take a look at Rashi. Gersha liyivim to la'acha shekansa ein lo elu ksuva. Next Rashi, aval kol zman shelo gersha hayu kol anechasim mishubadim lo avein rashalim kor. He can't sell. But now we can say, okay, this portion is to pay your ksuva. You're divorced now, so whatever I have, I'm paying it out right now, and you'll get your full 200, and they maybe more, maybe Tosefes, but the rest I'm going to sell. He has the right to do that after they get divorced. He pays the ksuva, and that's it. The hechzira, if he takes her back, hareiku cholanasha, meaning once a yavam divorces his yavama, now takes her back, she's like all women who divorced and now remarried their first husband, which they're allowed to do as long as they didn't marry anyone in the interim. Ve'ein lo ela ksuva bavad. All she has the right to is the original ksuva. Take a look at Rashi. Arei kuchal anashim. Last Rashi. This time the pirkan l'kamon. We learn in the parak later on. Habmegarish esishto vechzira al menas ksuva harishon echzira. We assume that it's based on the original ksuva. Varaparich lamali la'ashmin b'yivama. The Gemara will ask, why do you have to specifically mention this regarding a Yavama? Which means, I want to know if this is true of any marriage. A person, a man divorces his wife, he remarries her, so we assume their remarriage is based on the original ksuba. He doesn't write a new ksuba for her, and we're saying the same thing of Yavama. Divorces Yavama, marries her back, so we assume that's the original ksuba that's in play. The Gemara will ask, as Rashi points out, why you have to tell what the chiddush is, that would be true for the case of Yavama now remarrying the Yavama, if it's true for every marriage.